Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
And they sent me a copy of my records, and in the margins next to my name, they wrote that I had chosen to leave the church.
If the justice confirms that the name of René Lebusier has to disappear from the books, if it is confirmed, it can be a kind of jurisprudence in France.
The way that the Roman Catholic Church has not followed the new approach of democracy, the new approach of the women's issue, and there's really a big gap between the Roman Catholic Church and modern times.
Well, that's René de Beauvier. He's an elderly man in France who would like to have his name removed from the baptismal rolls of the Roman Catholic Church. More than that, he'd like to have his baptism nullified. And then we also heard from a reporter in France who follows the story, and then one Christian Wiesner, who is with a German branch of a grassroots reform movement known We Are the Church, and he thinks that the Catholic Church, this is an example of the Catholic Church as being completely behind the times. Apparently, there's a little move in Northern Europe to get yourself debaptized or to have your baptism nullified. And, of course, the response of the Roman Catholic Church is, we baptize, we don't debaptize. We're in the business of baptizing people, not undoing their baptisms. There's no way for them, according to canon law, much less scripture, to debaptize a person. The best they can do is say you left the church. I want to know what you think about this. This man in France who would like to be debaptized, should the church come up with a way of saying, okay, we're not only going to write in the margin of our church record that you are self-excluded from the church, we'll scratch your name out and we will declare your baptism null and void. The Roman Catholic Church does have a sacrament that they are willing to nullify, and that is marriage. You can have a marriage nullified for proper grounds. What about a baptism? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this last day of January, the 31st. A little audio open lines, a request for baptism by an elderly man in France. Your questions and your comments, of course, are welcome. We'll hear the story from National Public Radio, and then we'll take your phone calls, 1-877-623-6943, your email talkback at issuesetc.org, your tweets at issuesetc, or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for you to comment on this and another story, facebook.com/issuesetc. A little bit later on this Tuesday afternoon, we'll do a sermon review, a sermon preached on this last Sunday's text for many churches, where Jesus is in the synagogue in Capernaum. He is preaching with authority, and he casts out a demon. The people are amazed. They say, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He casts out this unclean spirit. We'll review a sermon from Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, a little later in this hour. In hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. We're going to talk about the resignation of a Pennsylvania State Welfare Advisor for publicly advocating the natural family. We used to just call it the family. Now we have to qualify it by calling it the natural family as to be distinguished from all other different definitions of family. Then a little audio open lines for hour two. There is a Virginia pastor who has a book and a new message. He says you can have a bod for God. He spells it B-O-D, the number 4, G-O-D, bod for God. As I said, he has a book and he has a program, and he says, you know, you can lose weight, you can exercise, you can get healthy without God, but with God, it's easier. Now, lots of people are concerned about their health. I want to know what you think about it in hour two of Issues Etc., some audio open lines. You can leave a question or a comment or a reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Or you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org. And if time permits, we might even get to the Issues Etc. comment line in hour two of Issues Etc. So, the basic story is, and we'll listen to the National Public Radio version of the story. The basic story is this man, once raised Catholic, is now disillusioned with the Catholic Church. Sometime in the 1970s, he decided, after becoming part of the free thinking movement, that he didn't believe in God anymore. And then his disillusionment was deepened by the scandals, the priestly abuse scandals worldwide in the Roman Catholic Church. He decided he wants out entirely. He was baptized. He wants to be debaptized. He has his name on the baptismal rolls. He wants it taken off. He sued the Roman Catholic Church, and he won. The church is appealing, of course. They say, we can't do it. We are not capable of doing this. I want to know what you think. Let's hear the story from National Public Radio.
In France, an elderly man is fighting to leave the Catholic Church. But he doesn't just want to stop going to church. He wants to make a formal break by nullifying his baptism. And he has sued the Catholic Church to make that happen. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports the case could have far-reaching effects.
Comme dans les films, vous savez.
71-year-old René Le Bouvier opens the gate of the churchyard in the tiny village of Fleury in the Manche region. His parents and brother are buried here. He himself was baptized in the Romanesque stone church and attended Mass here as a boy. Le Bouvier says this rural area of northwest France is still conservative and very Catholic, but nothing like it used to be. Back then, you couldn't even get credit at the bakery if you didn't go to Mass every Sunday, he says. Le Bouvier grew up in that world and says his mother once hoped he'd become a priest. But he says his views began to change in the 1970s when he was introduced to free thinkers. As he didn't believe in God anymore, he thought it would be more honest to leave the church. So he wrote to his diocese and asked to be unbaptized.
And
they sent me a copy of my records, and in the margins next to my name, they wrote that I had chosen to leave the church.
That was in the year 2000. A decade later, Le Bouvier wanted to go further. In between were the pedophile scandals and the Pope preaching against condoms in AIDS-racked Africa, which Le Bouvier calls criminal.
So he's disillusioned with the Catholic Church in general, and he wants no association whatsoever with the Catholic Church. When asked to have his baptism nullified, they did what they could do. They sent him a copy of the church records saying that it had been recorded next to his name, where his baptism had been recorded. It had been recorded that he asked to leave the church. And the church says, that's all the more we can do. But he wants his baptism nullified. He wants it undone in some way. And the church says, they simply can't do it. What do you make of this? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. The Roman Catholic Church does have a way of nullifying marriage, which it considers to be a sacrament. One might ask, couldn't they have a way to nullify baptism, which they consider to be a sacrament? Or does this highlight the fact that baptism, however you believe about marriage being a sacrament, baptism is of a different caliber? Can the church actually undo this thing? Well, if you have a low view of baptism, that it's your doing, you can undo it, right? Can't you? If you have a view of baptism that it's just a symbol that you basically enact to talk about your commitment to God, well, if you can do it, if you're the one who does it in the first place, then you are certainly the one who can undo it. But you see, that's not the biblical nor the historic view of baptism in the church. Baptism isn't what you do. And if you didn't do it, you can't undo it, right? At least the Roman Catholic Church is saying, we have no means of undoing a baptism. We know how to do them, but we don't know how to undo it. The Lord has given us no way to undo them. The best we can do is make a note by your name.
Again, he asked the church to strike him from baptismal records. When the priest told him it wasn't possible, he took the church to court. Last October, a judge in Normandy ruled in his favor. The diocese has since appealed, and the case is pending.
One can't be debaptized.
That's Reverend Robert Caslin, dean of the School of Canon Law at the Catholic University of America. Caslin says baptism changes one permanently before the church and God.
One could refuse the grace offered by God, the grace offered by the sacrament, refuse to participate, but we would believe the individual has still been marked for God through the sacrament And that individual at any point could return to the church.
French law states that citizens have the right to leave organizations if they wish. Lou Demont has been following the case for French Catholic newspaper La Croix. He thinks it could set a legal precedent and open the way for more demands for debaptism.
If the justice confirms that the name of René Le Bûcher has to disappear from the books, if it is confirmed, it can be a kind of jurisprudence in France.
All right, I want to hear from you, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. This man wants to have his baptism nullified, undone. The Catholic Church in France says, we can't do that. We can't strike your name from the baptismal rolls. It's just not possible for us to do. Should they? What should the church do in this case? He's pressing it in court. It's gone at least through one decision and appealed to another. So should the church just say, what difference does it make? We'll erase your name from the baptismal registry and we'll give this man what he wants. What do you think? What would that say about what the church is teaching about the nature of baptism? 1-877-623-6943. There are a lot of churches that'd be happy to do this for you. If you were baptized, say, a Baptist, and they believe that baptism is your act, your symbolic act of commitment, of your decision to invite Jesus into your heart, and you said, I disinvited Jesus. I just want to let you know, don't believe in him anymore. I would like you to take my name off the baptismal rolls. I'm declaring it undone. Well, they'd probably do it for you, right? But the Roman Catholic Church won't. And historically, the church won't. Why? Because they believe that baptism isn't something that you do. And if you didn't do it, you can't undo it. You can't even ask that it be undone. 1-877-623-6943. This break is a great time to call. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the last day of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an elderly man in France who would like to be debaptized. The church says no can do. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your comments after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book Liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the Curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
One can't be debaptized. One could refuse the grace offered by God, the grace offered by the sacrament, refuse to participate, but we would believe the individual has still been marked for God through the sacrament, and that individual at any point could return to the church.
That's the Reverend Robert Casson. He's Dean of the School of Canon Law at Catholic University in America. He's trying to explain why this elderly man in France can't get his way, at least by way of the Roman Catholic Church. They said, we simply can't nullify a baptism. And to remove your names from the baptismal rolls would be declared that null and void, and we have no means of doing that. You can exit the church. You can renounce the church. You can refuse, as he says, the grace that is given through this sacrament. But you're baptized, and you stay baptized. There is no de-baptism. It's Audio Open Lines this Tuesday afternoon, January the 31st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. I want your reaction to this story. We heard the last bit of the NPR coverage of this, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Daniel in Iowa City says he doesn't need de-baptism. Unbelief is what condemns. But don't his actions show that there's actually something to holy baptism? Luther writes in the Large Catechism, misuse does not destroy the substance, but confirms its existence. It's a great quote, by the way. Luther goes on, gold remains no less gold if a harlot wears it in sin and shame. This man is so afraid of God that he practically acknowledges his existence. That is something of an irony here, I agree. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. David sends his comment from the Issues Etc. iPhone app. He says, I think we have such a thing. It's called excommunication. And by the way, the new Issues Etc. iPhone app is out there for any of you to download free. It works on iPhones and iPads. And there's also an Android app if you have an Android device, many different ones of those. We got both of those at our website right now, absolutely free. Issuesetc.org. Under the Listen menu, there is a direct link to both the iPhone app and the Android app where you can get them for free. You can also find them at the Android market and also at the iTunes store. Just search Issues Etc. Of course, make sure you're searching in the apps. All right, so what's are we going to do with this man? What should the church do with him? David mentioned excommunication. That would be kind of the formal procedure of someone who would unwillingly who would need to be removed from the church unwillingly. That is, they think they belong in the church, but they don't. That would be excommunication. This man doesn't want to be in the church. We would use the term self-excluded, but we don't debaptize and we do not declare baptisms undone or null and void. There's a reason for that. We'll get to that a little bit later. Back to the story from NPR.
Up to now, observers say the debaptism trend has been marginal, but it's growing. In neighboring Belgium, the Brussels Federation of Friends of Secular Morality reports that 2,000 Catholics asked to be debaptized in 2010. And French newspaper Le Monde reports that about 1,000 French people a year asked to have their baptisms annulled.
Die Verbrechen, die von zwangsentsexualisierten Priestern.
There is much anger across the continent over the recent pedophile scandals. In September, Germans marched to protest the Pope's visit. Christian Weissner is with the German branch of the grassroots reform movement We Are Church. He says Europeans still want religion and they want to believe, but it has become very difficult within the Catholic Church.
It's the way that the Roman Catholic Church has not followed the new approach of democracy, the new approach of the women's issue, and there's really a big gap between the Roman Catholic Church and modern times.
Back at the church in Fleury, Le Bouvier stands by his parents' grave. I ask him if the case has ruined his chances of being buried in the family plot here. I don't have to worry about it, he says. I've donated my body to science. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News.
All right, now I want to hear from you. This man wants to have his baptism nullified. Should the church accommodate him? Their case is, we can't undo it. We have no authorization from God to undo baptisms, only to do them. And since there are no means of undoing a baptism, it is God's act. We can't undo God's act. The man can unbelieve all he wants, but as the Roman Catholic scholar from the Catholic University in America said, he's been marked by the sign of the sacrament, and he may return to the church at any time, really holding the door out and open for this man who wants to leave the church. Sarah in Canada says, dumbest thing I've read and heard about, excommunicate him and take him off of the books, a big black line over the name. And Canada, I out there in Canada, Sarah, I know what you're saying, but it can't be done. To cross his name off the baptismal rolls would say something about baptism that the church simply cannot say. Now, again, if you have a low view of baptism, the baptism is just your act that you do, it's a symbol and not a sacrament, then of course you would just, you know, Sharpie the name right off the list. But the church historically, based upon Scripture, holds to a much higher view of baptism, namely that it can't be undone by us, because it isn't our action in the first place. Let's see. Someone, Zion Lutheran, says, makes me wonder if the conscience of the law written on his heart is what's making him do it. If he were simply an atheist, he would simply disregard the baptism. A guilty conscience tries to remove it as though it never happened. The trouble is, it happened. It can't be undone. You see, baptism is called new birth by Jesus. And just like your first birth can't be undone, no matter how much you would want to undo it, you can't undo the second one either. Nicole in Sacramento, California says, if he is truly an unbeliever now, of what importance is it to him whether he is baptized or not? If, in his opinion, there is no God, wouldn't the baptism have just been a meaningless thing in the first place? The only reason I can see for someone continuing down this road is to grandstand his cause among a secular world, similar to the same-sex marriage movement. It seems like his way of publishing that the Roman Catholic Church is bad in a public way, almost as though he wants justice. But can he really believe that there is justice to be found without the Ten Commandments? It's a good question. Jonathan listens in France. He says, if he is an unbeliever and persists in his unbelief, he himself is essentially nullifying his baptism, since holy baptism is a work of God, not man. The church can do nothing to undo it. That very fact is also good news for those of us who are believers and look to our baptism with great comfort and joy and assurance. Now, I know what you're trying to say, Jonathan, and I deeply appreciate it. And you're quite right, with the exception of saying that he has essentially nullified his baptism. He can't do it either. That's the whole point of that Luther quote. Gold is gold, whether a harlot wears it in sin and shame. The denial of the substance doesn't demean it. It actually highlights it. So this man is unwittingly highlighting the fact that baptism can't be undone. He can't undo his baptism any more than the church could undo his baptism. Let's see. Waldo in South Africa says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, quoting Mark chapter 16. By not believing, he is already de-baptized himself, as he no longer has the benefits of his baptism. I totally agree with what others have said. The church cannot de-baptize him. Only God can. And this is the point I think is very important to make. When someone denies their baptism, they do not nullify their baptism. They actually confirm it. Unwittingly, unwillingly confirm it when someone denies their baptism. Kenneth in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania says, just because we remove a name from a baptismal registry doesn't mean that God has removed their name. That's the whole point of Christianity, and especially Lutheranism. God doesn't take our name off the register. Sean in Park River, North Dakota says, does the office of the keys move into baptism's sphere? If it does, then removing his name from the baptismal record is a work of man. It cannot be reversed. It cannot reverse the work of God. You see, I'm glad to hear this from our listeners, recognizing that baptism isn't something the individual Christian does. It isn't even something that the church does, strictly speaking. Baptism is God's work. And baptism is a pledge and a promise rooted in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which God will never break. Can someone walk away from it? Yes, but that doesn't nullify it. Just as if I were to disown my parents, it would not nullify the fact that they are my parents. Even if I refused to recognize it, even if I found a way of legally breaking the, it wouldn't change anything. It wouldn't change the fact, the objective fact, that they are my parents. Joanne in New Orleans says, this is a matter of the keys, yes, since in baptism the church unlocked the door of heaven for this man. A simple act of excommunication can turn the key and lock him out again. Even excommunication does not nullify baptism. That's something we should understand here. Excommunication says, this person may well be an unbeliever, but because they are also baptized, the church never forgets them. The church doesn't close the door when it excommunicates. It simply says, you have no access to the door that is open unless you repent. Now, he is technically excommunicated himself by refusing any association with the church. Joanne continues. She says, perhaps as a symbolic act at the end of the excommunication, someone could pour dirt on his head to signify that he's dirty again. He might go for that. Let Satan have him for a while. He'll come running back if the Lord grants him the chance, as he did do for me when my faith had left me. This man's baptismal seal is forever, so when he does come back, he will and won't need to be rebaptized again. That's a good point. The church doesn't rebaptize those who have been baptized. Michael in Maryland said, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Church of Rome cannot undo what God has done, so how can they nullify a baptism? Sarah says, why not just go find one of those hairdryer ceremonies that issues covered a while back? That would be as of much effect. When we come back, a few more of your comments on this, and then we'll do a sermon review on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 31st. More of your comments, your questions on a man who wants his baptism nullified in France, and the church says, and rightly so, no.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Our friends at Americans United for Life did their annual ranking of the states in order of success in passing pro-life legislation. The number one pro-life state was Louisiana, followed by Oklahoma and Pennsylvania. Last year, a record number of pro-life laws were passed and enacted. This means more babies and their parents will be spared the horrors of abortion. It also included laws against cloning and those protecting vulnerable patients from euthanasia. Indiana got a special mention for being the most improved state. What were the worst states regarding pro-life legislation? Washington, California, and Hawaii. They're all beautiful places, but not as safe for innocent human life. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org if you'd like a complete list of the states.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines on this Tuesday afternoon, getting your responses to a story from National Public Radio. An elderly man in France has had enough of the Roman Catholic Church. He is disappointed. He's disgusted. He asked to have his name stricken, or he asked to be taken off the rolls of the church. And the best the church could do for him was send him a copy of his baptismal record with a note saying that he had asked to be disassociated from the church. It wasn't good enough for him. He would like to have his name taken off the baptismal rolls. He wants his baptism nullified. And the church, rightly so, is saying, we can't do that. We don't have a mechanism for doing that. In this sense, I like the approach that the Roman Church takes nowadays to these kinds of questions, because it puts the emphasis exactly where it ought to be. It was not too long ago, and it really is kind of a perennial problem that the Roman Catholic Church was pestered by some within, mostly in America, some in Europe, saying, why don't you ordain women to the priesthood? And the response from the hierarchy, I thought, was brilliant. They just said, we haven't been authorized to do it. We can't do something we haven't been authorized by Christ to do. And without that authorization, we just can't. We don't change what we do. We must be authorized to do it. Now, say what you will about the inconsistencies of that reason as it is applied within the Roman Catholic Church historically, but it is a very good approach to such questions like, well, why can't we just do a debaptism? Because we haven't been authorized to do it. Christ has not instituted any means of debaptizing, so the baptism stands. If God wants to undo it, then he certainly can, but we have no clear word of God that he will. So the church is not at liberty to act here. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Send us your comments, your questions via email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, via Twitter @issuesetc, or on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joan in Buffalo Grove, Illinois says, baptism is not a work of man. If he wants to distance himself farther from God, he can choose to do that according to free will, just as we are not puppets on a string. So very sad. It's quite right, Joan, and thanks for listening. In Illinois, it is not a work of man. That is essentially what the church is saying here to him. Now, of course, he is taking the legal avenue of trying to get to force them to do this. And at some point, they're going to have to simply assert that they cannot do this, no matter how much the court or this man may want them to do it. Stephen is listening in London, England. He says, here in Europe, it's amazing what you can do. In a continent where people are campaigning to have their gender changed on their birth certificates, is it surprising that people can think that they can undo their baptism? If you can undo your birth, you can undo your baptism. In Europe, we believe that you can do both. Help. He says, Stephen, our sympathies, and thanks for listening. In England, well, that's exactly what I said before. Jesus says that he doesn't just liken baptism to birth. He says baptism is new birth. It is being born from above. It is being born of God the Father, not of the will of the man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but of God, as John says in the prologue to his gospel. So it can be undone or nullified as little as your physical birth can be undone or nullified. Mike listens in Canada. He says the issue is not about baptism, but about seeking to accomplish what a man asks. The closest thing that the church can do is excommunicate. This does not nullify baptism, but it does accurately represent the situation the man is in. And that might be a legal avenue for the church to say, look, would you prefer then, since we can't nullify your baptism, the best we can do is to formally excommunicate you. Is this what you would like? Now, normally excommunication takes place when someone is unwilling to leave the church where they have excluded themselves. But in this case, that might be a very good compromise. Paul in Virginia says, this is just indicative of how postmodern Europe, especially France, has become. We too are sliding toward this end. 100 years ago, no judge would have decided to support this petition because that judge probably would have known the concept of the sacrament and its permanence. You're quite right there. There is a certain amnesia as to matters theological in our culture. I think that's a good thing to point out. There's also a certain amnesia to matters theological in the church. Kim in Belleville, Illinois says, in making such a big deal of it, he's actually testifying to the magnitude of baptism. He obviously recognizes that it matters and that baptism is real, or he wouldn't be trying so hard to get rid of it. Now, she's not the first to point that out here in our brief conversation. If baptism is a nothing, if baptism isn't real, if nothing happened there, it really shouldn't matter to him at all. Nicole says, I wonder if he's still of sound mind at 71. His mental state may be a little off. How sad that he wants to run away from God at this stage in his life. That's true. Most people at 71 are thinking again about returning to the church. Mike listens in Kansas City. Mike, thanks for waiting on the line.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilk. And I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And let me just tell you what swayed me concerning the miraculous work of baptism as opposed to it being my work. It was 1 Peter 3:20. And it's so simple there because it basically describes what occurred during the great flood, Noah's Ark. And then it says your baptism, which corresponds to this, and that phrase is actually what got me. This is absolutely a work of God, just like the flood was a work of God.
And I think, to carry it a little further, it is a work of greater magnitude than even the flood. I think that's one of the points that the apostle's trying to make there. Mike, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kansas City. Well, can we undo the flood? No. Why not? Well, we didn't do it in the first place, did we? And baptism cannot be undone because it's not something that we do. Do you see what's at stake? I know that there are many listeners who may hold a lower view of baptism, who think of it as a symbolic act of the believer rather than a sacramental act of God. And do you see what's at stake here? Because with a low view, where it's just a symbolic act of the believer, it can be undone. It can be undone with no pomp, no circumstance, no ceremony, no procedure whatsoever, because it was your action to begin with. But what comfort, what certainty is there for a person who at long last, after straying from the faith, returns repentant to the church and is told, you know what, your baptism was good all along because it was God's act, it was God's pledge and his promise, and he doesn't break his promises. Michael in Strasburg, Illinois, says, on the secular side, this is like an expatriate suing the hospital in his country of origin for maintaining a certificate of live birth, even though he has moved out of the country and renounced his citizenship. You cannot change history, and it is not proper to alter the record of an historical event. If you wished that the event had never happened to begin with, maintaining the record does not interfere with his right to leave the organization. On a somewhat theological note, says Michael, the Roman Church opened itself up to this when they started changing history by annulling marriages and saying that they never existed in the first place. Quite right. Maybe they should rethink that policy. And on a more theological note, says Michael, kudos to NPR for including some quotes from the priest that they refer to rightly, that baptism is the work of God through the sacrament. You cannot undo the work of God. You can deny it. You can refuse it. You can work against it, but you can't undo it. Well put, Michael. Thanks for listening in Strasburg. Jonathan in Minooka, Illinois, says, what's next? Nullifying his birth certificate? Smartest listeners in radio. Courtney in Wildomar, California, says, can't someone deny their baptism by denying Christ? Well, that's a very, very good question, Courtney. Yes, you can deny your baptism, but you can't undo it. You can reject your baptism, but you can't undo it. You can run away from it. You can fight it. You can refuse everything God continues to do by that pledge and promise that he made in baptism. You can resist the Holy Spirit, but you can't change what God has done. See, this is the whole point of that Luther quote that one of our listeners brought up so much earlier. The practice of infant baptism was being criticized during the Reformation by some of the more radical reformers. And they said, well, if infant baptism was valid, why have so many who were baptized as infants fallen away from the faith? And Luther's response was, you know, with only infant baptism to go with, the church has sustained the body of believers for 2,000 years. And by the way, the abuse of baptism doesn't nullify its value or its substance. It actually highlights it. That famous quote, gold is gold even when a harlot wears it in sin and shame. It remains gold. And baptism remains baptism even if we try to thwart it, run away from it, refuse it, reject it. It's good to see that the Roman Catholic Church has an opportunity to confess the truth about what God does in baptism here. So, and I would hope what it would do is highlight for people who have that low view of baptism, that it's man's symbolic act, to realize what they are missing out on in denying the actual truth and substance of baptism. Nate in Yorkville, Illinois says, Would it send the wrong message to physically remove this man's name from the records, but still stand on the theological truth that his baptism is still valid? And he sends that question from our Issues Etc. iPhone app too. It would send the wrong message. I know it seems like a little thing. Let's just erase his name and say there's no record of his baptism. But it would absolutely send the wrong message to do this. Because it would say that in some sense it can be undone, that what God did, man can undo. And yes, that would unfortunately be the wrong message. When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Oback Morris is going to join us. We'll talk about the resignation of a Pennsylvania state welfare advisor for publicly advocating for the natural family. Stay tuned. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.